Welcome to our gathering here tonight. So we are trying, as God's people in this place, to fulfill His mission of making disciples. And part of disciple making means that we kind of have to be reminded of what this is all about in shaping other people to be followers of Christ. And I just want to begin tonight with a word of prayer of thanksgiving and asking God's help, because I just want to share with you that I know firsthand that there are several of you that are right now working to try to make disciples of others. Miss Carolyn Terry, this morning, you know Michelle is here on the front row, and Michelle, yeah, there she is, there's a wave. Michelle kind of stepped forward this morning, and she talked to me a little bit after the sermon. She was very moved by the sermon and had some questions, and so we've got her set up with Carolyn Terry, and Carolyn is going to be having some Bible studies with Michelle to kind of help disciple her and help her to move closer in her relationship with Jesus, which is a beautiful thing. We want to be praying about that. And then also Janet Armstrong, who's one of our members here, she's got some neighbors that are at a point in their life where they're asking some questions and really concerned about their walk with God and their relationship to God. And so Janet, along with Bill Morgan, are going to be working together to have some studies with her neighbors. And so that's in process, and we want to be praying for that. And then also there's been some ongoing studies that Glenn Hazel and Jan and Regina Jennings have been having with some of Regina's neighbors who initially came to the small group that Regina and Roger hosted in their home last season, and got some interest started there, and they've been having some studies, and I understand those are really going good, is what Glenn tells me. And so we just want to thank God for that and be praying for that. And that just, I can't tell you how encouraged I am to hear that God's people are out making disciples. That's what we're to be doing. And so I just want to pray over that. So let's pray for that tonight. Our gracious Father, we are so thankful that while we were lost in our sins, You still loved us. And You sent Your beloved one on a rescue mission to save us. And we praise You and thank You for Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. And so, Father, we know, being the recipients of His graceful sacrifice, we know the joy of our salvation, the freedom of from our sin, and the hope of life forever with You. And so I pray, Father, that You would, by Your Holy Spirit, stir a contagious enthusiasm and passion for our salvation, that we might go forth and share that with others. Help us to be disciples of Jesus who make disciples. So, Father, we ask tonight that You would be with Jan and Glenn and Regina as they're involved in some disciple-making efforts. That You'd be with Carolyn Terry as she works together with her friend Michelle. And I pray, Father, that You'd be with Bill and Janet as they work with Janet's neighbors. Father, I thank You that You have sent forth laborers into Your harvest that are willing to be used by You. And so, Father, I pray that You would do things through them that makes them stand back and just be in awe and see that it's not anything they're doing, but it's You working through them to bring people to an understanding and awareness and relationship with You and with Your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless their efforts, Father, and help them in every specific way that they need. And I pray that You would do Your work of bringing souls to Yourself. I pray that You would stir up within us all that same heart of mission, that You would give us opportunities before us, help open our eyes to see them all around us, to take the time to notice and to care enough to enter into relationships with people for the purpose of discipleship. I thank you for this church and for our shepherds who are focusing increasingly so upon this mission. And I pray that we as a church would fully embrace being a gathering of people that are disciples who make disciples. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I am so thankful that you're here tonight. And what I want to do this evening is I want to share something with you that is the result of some of my personal time with the Lord this week. I heard someone say recently, that it was a quote, and I forget where the quote came from. This was someone centuries ago, a preacher that once said, "I don't study the Bible so I have a sermon to preach. I preach because I've studied the Bible," or something to that effect. The point was that the reason that we should have a message to share, whether it's preaching or sharing it with somebody else, is not because we have some strategy or some predetermined lesson we want to necessarily deliver, but instead it's because we've been walking with the Lord in our personal devotional life, and the Lord impresses something on us, and we just get so caught up in it, we got to share it. And that's really the fruit of what I want to share with you tonight, is something that came out of my personal devotional time. And I only share that with you as kind of a challenge that we all just need to be with the Lord daily in quiet time, in meditation on Scripture, in prayer with the Lord. This is how we remain in Him, like I was talking about this morning, how the branch remains in the vine. And it is so important that we never lose sight of how vital that is for our spiritual health. And so the Lord kind of put something on my heart this week in one of my devotional sessions with Him that I want to share with you tonight. Perhaps it'll be something that is encouraging to you. I want to introduce it with a few words, and then I just want to do a reading that was my reading for that day, and then I want to make a few comments about it that maybe will help focus our thoughts and hearts tonight. I think there's a trap that is all too easy for most all of us to fall into. It's a slippery trap. And that is, you can try in every way you want to not do this, but if you're not very careful, it is very easy to slip into a self-absorbed life. A life that is just really kind of all about you. And when we slip into that, if we can recognize it before it's too late, in those moments of clarity, you realize, if I'm self-absorbed, I'm going to miss a lot of the things that life is really all about. It's going to just rush right past me because I'm so self-focused. One individual said, I read this quote this week, it was kind of helpful to me. "If you don't worship God, you worship something. And nine out of ten times, it will be yourself." We all worship something. If you don't worship God, you're worshiping something. And more times than not, if you're not worshiping God, you will worship yourself. The Bible is really clear about the fact of why we were made. We were made to be in relationship with God, created to give Him glory. We were made to worship. And that drive, that innate mechanism of worship within us will be directed toward something. Hopefully, it'll be directed toward God where it was designed to be directed. But where does worship come from? What is the origin of praise? That's what I kept asking myself as I read this psalm this week. And I think the psalm kind of answers the question. Let me share this with you. This is Psalm 104. If you want to read along, you may. You may just choose to sit back and listen to the reading. I'll be reading tonight from the New Living Translation. Psalm 104. Let all that I am praise the Lord. O Lord my God, how great you are. You are robed with honor and majesty. You are dressed in a robe of light. You stretch out the starry curtain of the heavens, and you lay out the rafters of your home in the rain clouds. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride upon the wings of the wind. The winds are your messengers. Flames of fire are your servants. You place the world on its foundation so that it would never be moved. You clothed the earth with floods of water, water that covered even the mountains, and at your command the water fled. At the sound of your thunder it hurried away. Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels you decreed. Then you set a firm boundary for the seas so they would never again cover the earth. You make springs pour water into the ravines, so streams gush down from the mountains. They provide water for all the animals, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. You send rain on the mountains from your heavenly home, and you fill the earth with the fruit of your labor. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil to smooth their skin, and bread to give them strength. The trees of the Lord are well cared for, the cedars of Lebanon that He planted. There the birds make their nests, and the storks make their homes in the cypresses. High in the mountains live the wild goats, and the rocks form a refuge for the hyraxes. You make the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to set. You send the darkness, and it becomes night, and all the forest animals prowl about. Then the young lions roar for their prey, stalking the food provided by God. At dawn, they slink back into their dens to rest. Then people go off to their work, where they labor until evening. Oh Lord, what a variety of things you have made! In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both large and small. See the ships sailing along and Leviathan, which you made to play in the sea. They all depend on you to give them food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are richly satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust. When you give them your breath, Life is created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord continue forever. The Lord takes pleasure in all he has made. The earth trembles at his glance, and the mountains smoke at his touch. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let all sinners vanish from the face of the earth. Let the wicked disappear forever. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is so easy to get swept away in the pace of life. We have our heads down, noses to the grindstone. And so many times we don't even notice the world around us. Our modern world today has lost the sense of awe. That truth, I think, was more demonstrated to me in such a clear way in a recent blockbuster film, 2015, Jurassic World, which was the follow-up to the hit 90s movie Jurassic Park. If you saw Jurassic World, there was a really interesting artistic depiction of what I'm trying to explain right here with the loss of the sense of awe. In one scene in the movie, teenagers are depicted traveling through a park filled with resurrected dinosaurs, and they're completely bored and disinterested on their phones. Completely having lost any sense of astonishment or awe with dinosaurs walking around just outside the glass. My point is this. Life can become so routine that we lose the sense of astonishment, wonder, and awe of the things that are going on all around us that declare the glory of God. And we're walking around with our heads down. You might call it awe deprivation. I think being deprived of awe directly impacts our ability to worship and praise God. Because praise naturally flows from a sense of being at awe and amazed by the majesty and glory of who God is. So if you've been desensitized by the reality of the glory and majesty of God around you, then there's no internal drive to want to praise and worship. Sure, you might go through the motions of what is called worship. You might attend a gathering where people are claiming this is the hour that people come together to worship. But worship coming from within, genuine praise and celebration and worship before the God, the Creator God, that's going to be missing from within you if you no longer have a sense of awe. You see, the psalmist invites us as readers to ponder God's majesty and as a result be moved to praise. And what he does in order to bring us to terms with that is he stops to notice the created world of God around him. And whenever he takes time to notice all of these intricate details in everyday life, even the clouds passing overhead, or the birds flying in the sky, or the fish in the sea, or pondering the fact that the ocean never seems to come this far up on the beach. It always stops and comes no further, even at highest tide. It never comes any further than here. thinking through those things all around us, taking time to notice them. What he's saying is he realizes that in all of the created things around us that we tend to just dismiss as being the way things are supposed to be, it's just natural law, things set in motion, and we just completely just accept that as being reality, and we don't ever ponder it. And when we don't ponder it, we don't take time to think about the fact that there is a force, a power, a being that is permeating and present, that is animating everything around us. An animating force, an animating principle, a being that is our God, who by His will and by His word is orchestrating all of it. If you want to see, as the psalmist would say in Psalm 27, one of my favorite passages, verses 13 and 14, he says, I had to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The psalmist is saying, listen, I had to stop and believe and look and see God's goodness all around me in the land of the living. And the reason he was able to see that is, he says in verse 14, wait for the Lord. And again I say, wait. Slow down, take a breath, take time to notice. And when you do, here's just what you might see. Here's what the psalmist saw. He saw God's robe like light flashing and whirling through the sky. The stars of the night sky in a blackness are sparkles on the curtains of the windows of heaven. The towering rain clouds in the spring sky are like rafters that are holding up the very home of God. He saw God riding from His home on the clouds like in a chariot propelled by the wind. Like unexpected breezes that come blowing across the landscape, God commands the wind to blow in whatever direction He wills. And upon the winds are His angelic invisible messengers sent throughout the earth like flames of fire on missions of mercy. You notice in verse 4 when he says, the winds are your messengers, flames of fire are your servants. The word winds there is a word that is often used in the Hebrew to refer to spirits as well. And the New Living Translation even has a footnote. The Greek version reads, He sends His angels like the wind, His servants like flames of fire. And incidentally, the Hebrew writer understood it that way because in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7, quoting this passage, he says, don't you know that there are angels that have been sent forth to be messengers and ministers for God's elect, and they're being sent forth by God on the wind? As I read Psalm 104, it says to me, and maybe it says to you, slow down, observe, ponder, rekindle the sense of awe that fuels praise within your heart. And it begins by just noticing the observable physical world around you and God's certain maintenance of everything around us. But even beyond that, we, if we look hard enough, may just be like Elisha's servant in 2 Kings 6 and verse 17. As we gaze deeper, our eyes might be open to even greater spiritual realities all around us. Praise begins by restoring a sense of amazement and awe of the honor and the majesty and the glory of God all around us. But what do we see whenever we look around? We see a world of order that was created by a God that intentionally and specifically made the world around us and maintains it as a kind and benevolent father of his created order. One of the biggest evidences, I think, for the reality of God is the design of the world, and the psalmist seems to be reflecting that. Because when you think about and you look at what the psalmist talks about, particularly down at verse 5 in the rest of the psalm, he goes back and reminds us of what happened all the way back in creation. Now, when I read verses 5 through 9, you might have thought he was talking about the flood account, whenever the waters came and covered the mountains, and then he said, never again will they cover the earth. But most likely, this is not a reference to the flood in the days of Noah, but instead is a reference to God making the world at the very beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you find in verse 2 that the world as we know it emerged from chaos because the universe was empty, it was formless, it was void, it was a chaotic wasteland. The existence of the universe as we know it began as a primordial depth of waters. And then verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the deep, like a dove fluttering over her nest. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, bringing order and arrangement to His creation. From the midst of the chaos, God brought order. And as He did, the angelic being shouted for joy overhead as God began to lay the foundations of the earth. That's what we find in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. And God, like a master architect, stretched His line, made the measurement, set the footing, and laid the cornerstone. He predetermined the boundaries of the sea and commanded the land to emerge from the waters. And on the land, God created an environment, a habitat. He made, as we see in verse 14, grass to grow. Verse 16, trees He planted. He marked out the seasons by the phases of the moon. Verse 19, He then filled the space He had made with inhabitants. The beasts of the field of verse 11, the birds of the sky of verse 12, even the wild goats in the high mountains in verse 18. The aquatic creatures that teem within the depths of the darkest of oceans, verses 25 and 26. And over all of that, God ensures in His kindness the nourishment from His hand of all of His creatures, verses 27 and 28. The power of all life comes from the Creator. And as we see later in the psalm, it is the Spirit of God that empowers all life. It is the Spirit of God that renews the face of the earth. Verse number 30. The point is this. As we live our lives, sometimes it can feel chaotic, disordered. We can feel so spread thin and so overwhelmed that life just seems out of control. And in the midst of that, God reminds us, take time to look and see the order that I bring to things around you. That there is a plan, there is design. And there is a loving God that is all around you, that is ruling the world in power and love and with sovereignty. And the glory of the Lord endures forever, verse 31. As He comes to the crescendo of praise, He says, take time to notice it. Take time to notice the glory of God enduring forever. But so many times we don't. But when we do, maybe we, like the psalmist, will be moved because of that to sing to the Lord all the days of our lives, to meditate upon God's goodness, because praise originates from meditating upon God's glory, being inspired with a sense of awe and wonder, so that from the chaos of our lives, we take time to notice God is all around us. And He is holding the world together. And if He cares for the goats on the high mountain and the animal creatures, the aquatic life in the depths of the ocean that we may never see, or to use the words of Jesus, if even a sparrow falls to the ground without, and God notices every one, there's not a one that doesn't catch His attention. How much more do you think He cares for you? We live in such a fast-paced world today. It'll give you cultural whiplash. And so the message of Psalm 104 is such a relevant message for believers today. Slow down. Take time to notice God's order, His majesty that permeates everything. And take time to focus on it and think about it and think through it enough that all of a sudden it just overwhelms your heart and you can't help but sing a song of praise to the Lord all the days of your life. Because after all, that's what He made you for. Let's pray. Lord, Your splendor fills the heavens and the earth. But Father, we confess too often we're blinded to Your glory. There are astonishing things occurring all around us. And yet, we often, too often, readily accept these things as just the routine workings of natural law. Father, restore to us a sense of wonder, a sense of awe, a sense of amazement to our hearts, and help us to be observant to Your majesty that fills this world. Take the awe of our hearts and move us into praise for You, because we want to know You and we want to see You in this world. Lord, open our eyes that we may see. In Jesus' name, amen.